T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Well, this is awesome, isn't it? It's Tuesday, and we start off with Jim Watkins, who is always here on time. We appreciate that. Jim is a timely guy, and he's also a knowledgeable one and a very politically charged one, which we like. Jim Watkins, JimWatkins1.com. He is the host of the podcast called Jim Watkins is Speaking Out, and that's true. He's speaking out right now. Hey, Jim.
Hey, man. How's it going, Todd Feinberg? How are you?
This is the day the bridge is in the water. Bridge in the water.
Right. I know.
What's it all about? Have you figured out what the conspiracy is yet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to go that route if I don't have to, but boy, when you start putting all the dots together, it does seem that they came out very quickly. They haven't even recovered all the bodies, and they were already absolutely sure that it wasn't. It's you know, thou dost protest too much, you know. And so that's sort of, well, here are the theories. One is that these boats or these ships they're not encrypted on their Wi-Fi. They may have passwords and things like that, but they're not encrypted per se. So it would make it vulnerable to being attacked or to be renavigated. You could take over their GPS. What's interesting about this particular thing is you couldn't have asked for a better place if you wanted to be destructive. I mean, the chances of them hitting that one little spot where it would complete, I mean, it would almost be like it was planned because it was such a perfect sabotage. Don't you think?
Well, if you set a boat adrift and it's heading where it wants to be, then, you know, it wouldn't be that hard to calculate, I don't think. How do you get it a little bit off so it's heading for one of those support things? I don't know. What percentage of the span was the ship able to hit because of height things? It didn't have to hit a post. It could have hit somewhere where the bridge was lower.
Cut it right in half? Sure. I guess that's possible.
So it's not necessarily a miraculous that it hit the post, but because it was trying not to, and when you took away its ability to try, then the current's going to carry it a little bit. But if you're a terrorist trying to do it, then you sure did a good job. You know, the way I do the math on it is that we don't get told the truth in noticeable ways very often by people in a position of responsibility for telling us the truth. Like, those people are always conspiring to make things happen in their own best interest. So that would be the reason not to accept what they have to say. So they say there's no evidence of terrorism because they don't want everybody running around inventing terror theories. So they automatically say that before they would know what the evidence was.
Yeah.
So it is deceptive, and they do have incentives to make sure that we don't learn the truth. So it's a battle to get the facts.
I know, and then there's also the idea that just a couple of days ago, there was a horrible attack in Moscow. Putin and his people have already gone, saying that they believe that the United States, Ukraine, and the UK were probably behind it. Why else would the terrorists be trying to escape? Except for going through Ukraine, they could have gone through anywhere else. There are other nations closer. So that sort of adds to the mystique of this. But the I'd never even realized how important this port was. I mean, it's the second largest port.
I know. Who knew it was so big there?
Right. And then on top of that, and this is what I started out my day reading about Baltimore. There's an area of Baltimore that completely lost control over the weekend. There are teenagers by the hundreds going around, smash and grabbing. Crime is just out of control in this one area of Boston. And part of it is because...
Baltimore, you mean?
Baltimore. They don't have any police. The police force has been shut down. They just lost $22 million in funding, similar to in Pittsburgh, where they don't even have a night shift anymore. If you want the police to come see you, you got to leave a message.
Because they lost funding or because they don't have enough cops?
Because they lost funding. This is what's happening in Baltimore and also in Pittsburgh. And the defund the police, it's part of the social reform sort of sentiment that's going on.
You mean
on
trying
now
to have psychologists to go to certain kinds of events?
No, I'm talking about just cutting the police because people believe that too many cops is racist.
That idea floated for the Democrats a few years ago. And they realized it was a bad one, and they backed off it. And most places tried to turn the politics around.
Yeah,
so,
well, not in Baltimore.
Yeah, why would Baltimore still be going with it when, by all accounts, the local people want strong policing going on?
But they're not getting the funding, and that comes by way of a very liberal city council. Remember, social justice reform is about going easy on people because the disproportionate number of young African American men makes them nervous that there's so many of them in jail. Why aren't, you know, it's like everything else. Where's the equity? For every one African American, they should put two white Americans in jail. I mean, that's their thinking. And since it can't be done that way, the reverse is true. We can't have all these African American men or people of color in general incarcerated. It looks bad. And this has been look, they're not tackling the problem by trying to figure out what's causing young African-American men to commit crimes. Instead, they're just it's like, you know, the three strikes, you're out thing is over. It's done. It was wrong. It was stupid. But now they're trying to make it for past time. I think that's the problem in Baltimore. And this port thing is just going to exacerbate the problem because it's going to devastate an already devastated local economy. So for the people in Baltimore, I would say you're going to start seeing what's happening in New York, in other places, Silicon Valley, San Francisco. You're going to see an escape, an exodus from Baltimore. It's not looking good for Baltimore. So,
well, Baltimore is the most violent city in the nation, is it not?
Is it really?
That's what I've heard in the past. What was it in the news for a year or two ago? It was in the news for something, and that was the stat on it. So the back to this thing with the ship. It is interesting just to think about terrorism, because, and I like that you brought it up, you know, as where the mind goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural thing to do, and it's been 20 years since, 23 years since September 11th. So that has us in a situation of trying, when you look back over that span of time and say, terrorism, we all thought terrorism was the new wave after September 11th. Like that was the sense that we had, that we were so vulnerable, that we had built this modern society that was precarious. And it was that easy to be able to use the muscle that we built against us. And you heard about all these different ideas for ways that terrorism might proceed and the vulnerabilities that we had, the electrical grid. We knew back then the electrical grid wasn't sturdy and wasn't capable and was precarious. And you would have thought that we would have built it up by now, but we haven't. And an attack on a ship like this, and to be able to shut down a road like that, what do you think it's going to take? A year, 2 years before they can rebuild and have that highway running normally through that area again? I mean, that's
an amazing cost
to put on a region and on a country.
Yeah, and it puts a strain on everybody else because the supply chain is going to, apparently, and I didn't know this, but a lot of cars that are imported from Europe and Germany and elsewhere, they come through Baltimore. So now if you are looking to buy a new car or you need a part or something, it's going to add to that whole supply chain. What I think is hilarious about all this, and there's not much, but where was Pete? I'm starting to see a trend under the Pete Buttigieg administration, because he, you know, he runs the Department of Transportation. And think about what's happening with these airlines. Remember remember how crazy it was last Christmas with people getting home and, you know, planes weren't taking off and there was a shortage of air traffic controllers. Now we've got this with this boat. We've got where's Pete? What's he doing about all this? I heard him say, I can't believe this is true. He said that the reason they build the bridges lower is racism. Like bridges are racist now. When you got a guy like that in charge, are you surprised at the lower quality? Perhaps maybe these are equity hires. They're having to be diverse in their hiring practices. So maybe they're lowering their standards on who they got to hire.
All right, Jim Watkins, hang on one sec. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue. Stay with us on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
We're talking to Jim Watkins. His podcast is Jim Watkins is Speaking Out. Go to jimwatkins1.com. So I was just looking at Baltimore. They did cut the police budget, which is quite remarkable. It's bizarre, and it's bizarre that the White House would allow them to do it during a presidential year, because this is the kind of thing that was harmful to and scary for Democrats a few years ago and could really be a problem for Joe Biden running for re-election. Oh, wait a sec, Jim. Are you there?
Right. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it is bad optics. It's right down the road, too. But, you know, this administration doesn't seem too worried about bad optics. Neither, kind of like P. Diddy, you know.
All right. Go easy now. Go easy. So,
not
so
in the
your
same way, mind you.
Let's go back to your operative theories on what you think the best conspiracy theory you've heard is in terms of this ship. Because I think conspiracy theories, whether true or not, are important in terms of opening up the creative mind to see things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
There's no reason we should accept the idea that some official explanations are all of a sudden going to come with veracity and without having been tilted in order to benefit the people delivering them.
So probably the most likely theory is that it could have been a hack. If it was, this thing has the look and appearance of something that was planned. It happened at a weird time. Would there be minimal observation? Thank God for that, because, you know, many more people could have died going over that bridge. The angle at which the boat hit looked like it might have been worked out, like maybe some engineers got involved and tried to figure out what would be an Achilles heel. And this would be the first of several provocative actions that have been taking place. You know, there, if you haven't noticed, there's chicken farms that are being burned and explosions going on all over the place. And we don't know if this is just a general. My theory is that if there is a conspiracy, it's a conspiracy of a particular group of actors who are slowly trying to create more and more instability in America. And it's simply for that purpose. But you know?
So you're saying that's domestic, then, that they're domestic terrorists?
Definitely an outside actor could be involved. Maybe it's Iran. Maybe it's China. You know, those things are up for grabs. It could have been an accident. What is that expression? The simplest explanation is probably the right one, Occam's razor, right? So the simplest explanation is the power went out on this huge ship that has $300 million worth of product on it, and nobody knew how to turn on the boat. That would be the simplest explanation.
And then it, of course, raises questions. Even if you take it at face value, it does raise obvious questions, which is, how is it possible for a big ship like that with so much infrastructure depending on it having a continuous supply of energy, how would that energy suddenly cut out like that? What would make that happen? What kind of backups does it have to make sure that can't happen? you know, it's not that hard to generate a little bit of electricity to keep the internet going and to keep the controls going, you wouldn't think.
Or maybe put down an anchor, you know?
Yeah, you can always slam on the brakes, sure.
Yeah, right, right. It could have just been a guy who decided to have a smoke out on the deck, and he thought everything was going fine, and when the power went out, it took him too long to get back.
That simple. We've just got 3 or 4 minutes left, but what are the more extreme scenarios that people are imagining on social media and stuff?
Many people are saying, some people are strange. They think it was intended as a distraction to Donald Trump getting, you know, $6 billion or whatever he got, which is ridiculous. This thing took some real planning if it was a conspiracy. Other theories are it's just plain negligence. The people on board that ship, they're not from America. They don't, you know, maybe they don't have the standards. I tend to think it's a combination of negligence on the part of people who work in this administration in the different departments. I think that we have a mediocre task force. This is why we're seeing not only in this, think about what all of these things have in common, doors falling off of airplanes, tires falling off of airplanes, airplanes exploding, bridges. This isn't the first bridge that's collapsed, but it's a major port, and all of it seems to have connections to the transportation secretary, who is Pete Buttigieg. And this guy, he literally caused the worst traffic commuter nightmare last year with everybody going home for the holidays. Why? Because he didn't have the people or the staff to tell him that things were wrong and things were going to go wrong, because nobody wants to. You know how it is. You don't want to be the guy that goes in and says, hey, Pete, you're not doing a good job. You know, we need accountability. We need transparency. I don't get that feeling from Pete Buttigieg. So eventually, I think this has to fall on him. So we'll see.
Well, it really, to me, the larger issue is if you look at the vulnerability that exists, I mean, think about that bridge and that ship and how easy it is for this to happen. And the thing that keeps it from not happening is that we all depend on each other's desire to not crash and not kill ourselves accidentally and not create destruction and not lose our jobs. You know, there's this glue that holds society together, and it's everybody wanting to be able to take care of their families, basically, and not get fired. And what happens when that social fabric starts to come apart? When, you know, back to your discussion on the police and the idea that that there are forces that are trying to break things in our country on purpose to create social unrest, for opportunities to create a new political order, perhaps.
Yeah.
Right. So that theory is out there. Well, how easy is it when you start defunding police or not prosecuting criminals, when you start dismantling the systems of modern civilized society, things can come apart, I would think, really easily. Jim Watkins, jimwatkins1.com. It's always great to talk with you, Jim. Appreciate you being here.
You too. We'll catch up soon.
All righty. Podcast is Jim Watkins is Speaking Out. We're going to talk education with Carol Platt-Liebau from the Yankee Institute, coming up on
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
UTIC.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
It's WTIC. Todd Feinberg with you. Thank you for being here with me and us and enjoying this get-together. Joining us now is Carol Platt-Liebau. Carol is the president of the Yankee Institute at yankeeinstitute.org. Yankee is trying to get information out to voters through its writing and research that clarify what good policy would be for the state. I don't know. Is that specific enough for describing what you do, Carol?
Well, sure. That will do just fine. Yankee Institute, we stand with everyone in Connecticut who wants a prosperous Connecticut. And we believe in smart limited government, fairness for taxpayers, and an open road to opportunity for the people of our state.
So with regard to that umbrella that you just described and education, public education is a problem, particularly where it's most sorely needed. That's where it falls furthest short, and that's in urban areas where there isn't a lot of money, and the education is just desperately required to be able to send kids off into the world with opportunity. And there's legislation being considered, contemplated in the legislature now that you want to talk about because it would provide an alternative means of funding, I think. Private school educations for poor kids who can't afford it but should be going to better schools. Is that right?
Well, that's pretty much it. What this bill would do is it would offer scholarships to low-income kids in K through 8 who need to escape failing public schools. And it's scholarships of up to $2,500. And then their parents are responsible for the rest. Every one of these parents, at least the way we do it, they have skin in the game. And you know, they go generally to small neighborhood private schools. Maybe they go to parochial schools. But for the most part, you know, they are able to go to a school that meets their unique needs. And they're able to go to a school that, in many cases, can do for them what a public school, in their case, doesn't do. And so this bill would incentivize people to give to organizations that grant these scholarships because it would let the people who do the donating have a tax credit for giving. So it would.
So there's a middleman here that receives the money from a donor. And
precisely,
which makes
and
it,
then the donor gets a tax credit.
Yes, and then that organization donates the money to the family of a child that it deems worthy of having
who qualifies. Who qualifies? Yes. And for example, who qualifies for the school lunch program? A low income child, and it has in and under our program has to be an accredited school, and you know, Todd. It doesn't take a single dollar, a single penny from the public schools because this is all private donated money from individuals.
But this is not about money from the point of view of the politics of opposition, I'm guessing. I'm guessing
precisely.
That the political opposition is because there is a cabal controlled by the unions that controls the political outcomes for Democrats running for re-election, and that they're scared to alienate the union. So the fear is to vote for something the unions don't like. It doesn't matter if it doesn't take any money out of their pockets. It threatens their credibility if kids have a way to get a good education that falls outside of the cabal operated by the Democrats and their union partners, it's essential to them, for them, to make sure that nobody finds a way out.
Well, Todd, here's what's actually worse. They don't even want, it's not even a matter of them voting on it. They don't even want there to be a vote.
Sure.
They just want to strangle this baby in the cradle.
And it's so malicious and so hateful. The lock on education, having an education monopoly for schools that have failed and are kept in business forever, and they've failed forever, and for a system in areas that just doesn't work for the kids who most sorely need it. And these people who claim to have so much compassion are in the business of making sure that kids who need a great education can't get a good one.
Well, here's what I find very disappointing, is I find it hard to believe that anyone in our legislature would side with a special interest, the leaders of a teachers union, over low-income children in grades K through 8 who just want to try and get an education that meets their needs.
Oh, I'm so glad you said it that way, Carol, because when I was reading about it, what popped into my head was that language, that they have such gall to put special interests over children. And I thought, what a great opportunity for people who want to make them pay a political price.
Well, Yankee Institute is, of course, as you know, Todd, nonpartisan. And so there are some Democrats who support this bill, and we thank them for that. There are some good Democrats who support this bill. And I was just disappointed on the news last night on Fox 61 to see that Matt Ritter, the leader, the Speaker of the House, said that there had been strong opposition and that he doesn't really see any need to advance this bill at all. And I'm really disappointed in that because Matt Ritter himself went to a private school. He went to Kingswood Oxford School. He himself did, and he's from Hartford. He has children. I'd be surprised if his children attended the Hartford public schools. And I just find it hard to believe that he wouldn't let other children have the same opportunity that he has, especially when it doesn't take a single penny from our public schools. It would be completely $2.5 million. That's all this program would need. $2.5 million is all this program is. And he apparently doesn't even believe on letting there be a vote on it.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. So I just looked up to see what the Kingswood, I'm not familiar with this school, the Kingswood Oxford. It sounds very grand. And the pictures of it I can see online look very stately. You know, you imagine George Washington's kids are going for an education there or something. It costs for middle school, tuition is $42,000 a year. Upper school, $46,000. And for a guy whose family valued education enough to spend that kind of money so that he could go to private school, to want to block urban kids, poor urban and minority kids, from getting a $2,500 a year leg up that doesn't cost his constituencies, the people he's scared about losing their support, it doesn't cost them anything. And
no,
he's still willing to block it.
And it's $2.5 million. Now, the thing is, we give a tax credit to Hollywood and to movie makers and to people who want to come here and make television shows. And we're willing to give them a tax credit, but we're not willing to give a tax credit to people who want voluntarily with their own money to support education for children who are being bullied in our public schools, who for whatever reason, can't get the education they need in a public school that may be failing, or where a public school may be absolutely fine, but it simply isn't meeting their unique needs, or it isn't consistent with their family's values, but their family can't afford to do what Matt Ritter's family did and sent him or her to a private school like Kingswood Oxford. And most of these families aren't sending their children to schools like Kingswood Oxford. They're sending them to a neighborhood private school where their children can get have the benefit of a smaller classroom, more personalized attention, and perhaps an education that is in line with their family's values.
And we're talking to Carol. I'm sorry, I just want to bring everybody up to date. Carol Platt-Lebow is our guest. She's the president of the Yankee Institute, which you can find online at yankeeinstitute.org. Carol, we're going to take a quick break, but when we continue, I'd love to have you just describe a little bit more about the school, the kind of thing that can be purchased education-wise to help a poor kid out in Hartford for $2,500. Is that what it is a year?
It is. It is.
So let's do that in a minute. Stay with us. More with Carol coming up on WTIC.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the union cabal, it's standing in the way of legislation that would allow money to be donated with a tax deduction to inner city kids in the state so that they could get $2,500 to attend a private school. And even that is too threatening. No money being taken out of the public schools, according to Carol Platt-Lebow, president of the Yankee Institute. Visit yankeeinstitute.org. This story you guys have written up, it has a great title, Carol. Can you tell us what that is?
Sorry, I'm sorry. You cut out.
You have a great title for this story, but I lost it on my screen. Do you remember what it is? You don't either. I will find it. No, describe to us what is the, for $2,500, what is the kind of education option? You can't get a fancy school like where Matt Ritter went to school, but you can get what?
Well, you can go to often a private neighborhood school. You can go to a parochial school, and sometimes there are schools, for example, in Fairfield County, like Eastern Country Day School, who have worked with these scholarship students, and they have experienced great success there, and they have apparently flourished in that community. And they come in, and their parents come in. They are eager to contribute to the community. And the parents of students who have already been at Easton Country Day have been excited and delighted because, you know, many of them worry about breeding an attitude of entitlement in their children, who then see how grateful and hardworking the scholarship students are who come there. And it has been a wonderful thing for people on both sides of it. And, you know, I was going to mention, Todd, Matt Ritter represents Hartford. And according to Public School Review, 13% of the Hartford School District is proficient in math. 21% is proficient in reading. There's a graduation rate of 71%. Now, there's a 13-to-1 student-teacher ratio. So, I mean, it's not necessarily the funding, and it isn't necessarily that there are too many kids in the class. But, I mean, you know, the fact is that one of the biggest problems we have in Connecticut is an education gap. Mm-hmm. And we have an education gap between some of our most affluent communities and some of our most struggling communities. And this offers a way for 150,000 low-income children who could be eligible for an opportunity scholarship. It would give them a leg up. And for those who are not being well served by our public schools, it would give them an opportunity to find a place that is more consistent with their needs or their values. If you know, the children need a union as effective as a special interest as what the teachers have.
Yeah, that was the title that I loved. If only low-income kids had a union. And it's really interesting that Democrats who claim to love and care about the poor and minorities so much, but actually funnel all of their power into a cabal that they've formed with teachers' unions and other kinds of public employees. Their purpose, whatever they think and intended, has been kidnapped, and they're not doing what's best for these kids who desperately need their support.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's remarkable because Hartford's, it isn't even a spending issue. You know, Hartford spent almost $22,000 per pupil in 2021. That's the second most of any of the county school districts in the state. And yet Hartford students scored the worst performance index on literacy and English language arts scores and the second worst in math and science. Something is not right in the Hartford public schools. And I just don't understand why Speaker Ritter isn't willing to help people who are willing to do it without taking a dollar from the public schools, try and help some of the children who are struggling there.
Well, what's wonderful about this plan is it allows there to be some entrepreneurial activity in a rigged system that's institutionalized to protect big institutions like school systems from being innovated. So you can't change. Your point that you were making a couple of minutes ago is that these schools can't really be improved because they're part of a system that doesn't know how to have successful schools. It's just not part of the culture. And anybody who's run a business or an organization, as you have, Carol, you know that those cultures are really hard things to change. And it generally happens best in smaller environments where individuals with strong convictions and strong drives can carry on their own shoulders an institution into a frame of mind where it can provide for excellence to be the result. And that's what kids need. And you can't do that having a union-controlled school system.
No, and you have to, and you know, the fact is that no one is asking anyone in government to give up anything. No one's asking them to give up money. No one's asking any of them to give up anything. All we're asking is $2.5 million for tax credits for generous people throughout the state who want to help give these children a chance for the opportunity to get a good education that will allow them to live lives of dignity and fulfillment.
Rock and roll. That was good, Carol. That's a good wrap up. Carol Platt-Lebow, do you want, if people, well, this isn't set up yet.
Yes.
Right?
Well, what I hope people will do is go to, first of all, we hope they'll support opportunity scholarships, and they can mm-hmm. do that at the ctcee.org. But we also ask that they call Matt Ritter's office and
all
they
right.
ask him to let opportunities politely.
Yes, be nice.
To let opportunity scholarships get a vote in committee. And we also ask, check out Yankee Institute's page. We have an action page for this, yankeeinstitute.org.
Awesome.
And we're asking for your help. Let these low-income kids have a chance.
Carol Lebow is the president of the Yankee Institute. Check out yankeeinstitute.org. Carol, great to have you here. Thank you so much.
Can't thank you enough.
All righty. Talk to you soon. More coming up. We've got no guests for the next hour. We're going to talk topics. And right now we're going to Mark Christopher in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Find out what's happening for the afternoon. What kind of culture we have on the roads right now, Mark.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.